Our next presentation is by Dr. Michael Rovito. Dr. Rovito is an assistant professor of public health at the University of Central Florida in Orlando. His research interests include men's health, behavioral health, research methodologies, and health psychology. He has developed a psychosocial typology deemed control identity that aims to assist audience segmentation research. He is currently conducting research on how this typology can be applied across the health, wellness, and disease continuum. He is the director of the Men's Health Information and Research Collaborative. Dr. Rovito is a fellow of the Albert Schweitzer Foundation and of the Foundation for Informed Medical Decision Making. He has published and presented widely in both public health and geography academics. Dr. Michael Rovito.
Thank you. All right. So my thing is the Men's Health Initiative. It's a community-based participatory approach to men's health promotion. And this whole talk is pretty much my, it's just a demonstration of where I came from a moment of sickness into advocacy. I'm just here to demonstrate my path along the way. I'm very proud of where we are today from where we came from. So, the outline is going to be just a quick overview. Our three-part foundation is going to be service, research, and recruitment and promotion. Some of our campaigns that we have done and our future endeavors and where MHI is going to be going to in the future in terms of research and service. We all know some of the major problems affecting health. MHI offers... We're not in the screening process right now. We're not offering those services. We are about to do some clinical care services and offer screening, but right now we're doing information dissemination on testicular cancer, prostate cancer, sexual health, nutrition, heart disease, exercise and fitness, sexual and social health, that kind of stuff. We range from pretty much from 10 years old up until 75, 85 onward. Again, my genesis of the Men's Health Initiative is MHI. It was actually a personal health scare. I was 17, and I had a lump on my testicle, and I was like, oh, my God, what is this? I think it's cancer. I'm going to die kind of a thing. And I had no idea what to do because no one even talked about it back then. This is going back to, like, 96. And I tried to talk to my school nurse about it. I mean, I was pretty efficacious with, like, how I got information, but I still had no idea what to do. I looked on, what was the internet back then? I think it was like Amazon and like Yahoo. That was it. Like nothing else. There was like nothing about testicular health, nothing about men's health, like nothing like that. So I was like extreme duress. I thought I was going to die. I had no idea what was what. I ended up going to a urologist and everything turned out to be okay. But still, that's where this whole thing started from because like I had no idea what was going on. I had no information. And so I was like, if I'm like this, there's got to be other guys like this, and so that's why I'm here today talking about it. An overview of it is a personal goal of mine. It's not even about the publication. Well, of course it is, but I mean, it's like just like a personal kind of growth. I want to get guys informed so they're not as scared as I used to be. So it's a personal goal of information gathering and dissemination to guys like myself, my father, my grandfather, you, whoever. All right. It was founded in Philadelphia in 2010, about a year and a half ago. Now it's based in Orlando, Florida, but there are some branches still open up in Philadelphia. And we offer information services regionally and nationally. Tenants, informing men, duh, right? That's what we're here to do, inform men of health and wellness. Identify risks unique to men and implementing behavioral interventions. I thought that was a good start. And the primary goal is obviously reduce the health disparities seen between the sexes. And to promote awareness and action among males. That's more policy, number two, but still one of our goals. Last thing here, like programmatic-wise, like we have a three-part foundation for MHI. Service, research, and then again, research and the recruitment and promotion. Service, obviously, is community-based educational campaigns. Research is the competitive proposal soliciting public and private funds. That's the hardest one, probably. And number three is the recruitment and promotion. That's our special campaigns that we do to help raise awareness among college men, among older men about prostate cancer, and I'll show some pictures of that. Service is our solicitation to community members to give lectures in this like pro bono work. We're not even charging anything, obviously. That's not the point of this. We just give free talks, free lectures to anyone that's willing to listen. We range from like Hispanic churches to talk about machismo and how it affects DRE, like adherence to guys, how to use a condom, that kind of stuff. And It's the community faith-based institutional, academic, and public or governmental organizations on mental health topics. Again, it ranges the whole gamut. Our first one here, this is actually us giving a demonstration on how to perform testicular self-exam to a bunch of Hispanic or Latino pastors to give that information onto their parishioners. We had a translator there as well, but it went over really, really well. It was kind of difficult to talk about DREs and rectums and testicles to a bunch of, like, you know, older, really stoic Hispanic males, but we kind of broke through about 20 minutes into it. We discussed machismo. Give it 20 minutes. If you talk to anybody about it, give it 20 minutes, and you'll start seeing the barriers break down. Because I was like, y'all have one, all right? You know what's going to... These are some of the risks to that. So about 20 minutes into it, all started breaking down. We had a really good discussion going. We did an MLK Day of Service at Girard College. It was in Philadelphia. It was what our goal was there. That's some of the students there. That was at Temple when I was there at the time. We basically gave out information, and a lot of it was towards men, like patient navigation stuff, like where to go for clinics for, like, you know, get prostate cancer screenings and stuff like that. Went over really well as well. People were pretty receptive to it. This is interesting. This is what we talked at a college about sex, and it was quite a wild kind of reception to it, I believe. It was pretty packed, but two of the MHI students were here, Pete and Lavani, they're in the audience. They were actually at these lectures and talks, and we'll get more involved with that later. But we talked about, it was an interactive seminar on sexual health and masculinity, roles of men in a relationship. If there should be one, I don't know. You tell me. That was all the goal of the discussion itself. We discussed manliness among college men. You know, a college man's ego is always inflated, and it always has some kind of outcome to that. We talked about those outcomes itself. Our sub-focus on STDs, pregnancy, and fatherhood. And we partnered up with the Latin frat there. And so it was, again, really well reception. We did a prostate cancer run. This is one of those. Gary Papa was a newscaster up around the Philadelphia area. On the air, he said he's diagnosed with prostate cancer, is terminal, and ended up dying of it. His whole goal, though, was to say, guys, you got to get checked because I have terminal cancer and I should have got this prevented because I should have got tested before, but I'm going to tell you to get tested so you could, you know, prevent terminal cancer. So they hold a prostate cancer run every year in his honor. It's in June, obviously during Men's Health Month, but we took part in that as well. Our research is active solicitation of research funds, but again, we talked about this in the policy session in the morning when Scott ran it, is that research and funding for men's health is completely limited. I mean, even the word man or prostate in a title of your search, it's like, forget about it. It's already got a shot in it. It's just really, really difficult, and it kind of like almost dissuading, but we keep plugging along. But we are actively seeking money to do so. We got some smaller grants. The larger grants aren't really out there for men's health, which is, again, kind of discouraging. But we're taking little bits away at smaller grants, just some of them. They're all men's health, obviously. Our latest one is one where we're doing TSE promotion among men, and we're using social media as the conduit. We're going to try to develop an iPhone app and everything else to try to remind guys to do TSE once a month, but I should really copyright that before I said it. There's no other competition, but we're trying to do that using text and everything. Again, that's it. Also, we're trying to break into the Latino community with machismo and masculinity, and like what role that plays in men's health compliance or adherence to a certain behavior. It's very, very predictive, it turns out to be. Obviously, we kind of knew that, but in the Latino community, very predictive, and that's one of the things we're trying to break into as well. Last thing, just some publications here that we produced, but the last thing here was our promotion. Again, we have three functioning branches. The last one is just like one individual guy that wants to start something up, like a little state college up in Pennsylvania, but the two main ones are in UCF in Orlando, Central Florida, and also at Temple University in Philadelphia. The hub is in Orlando, but I'm using the Philadelphia one as a conduit for an information dissemination. How much time have I left? A couple minutes? I don't know. One of our things here was our March Mustache Madness kind of activity. It's kind of like Movember, where you grow facial hair for a month and you promote all this kind of stuff, like men's health awareness and whatever else. We had a three-part project for this. Once was this seminar kickoff, then we had a promotion period, and then we had a party at the end of it. And I'm smiling because that party was pretty fun. But our recruitment or promotion, we had a kickoff seminar, formal launch of the project. We had some guys come. It was an information dissemination thing, just to say, this is the formal start of it. Please start growing your facial hair. Go, kind of thing. And then we did this whole promotion campaign where for the next month we gave out these email blasts and flyers set up, and we did Facebook and Twitter, all that kind of stuff, and got the word out there. And last thing, we had like a little party here, and the guy that raised his hand, he's right here in the audience, he won our facial hair award. He had a great manly beard, and they had this whole vote, and it was pretty cool. But some of the quotes was, I never really paid attention to my own health issues before, but this has made it into something I think about every day. This is more than a party, it's become a movement. It actually became, you know, a pretty big thing on campus, I think our department at least, or our college, about men's health awareness. One other person, she worked with us, it was this idea to start a kind of word-of-mouth campaign around campus, and the whole point, again, was if you see a guy talking about it, or like, you know, why are you growing a mustache like that? It's really creepy looking. Well, this is why I'm doing it. And, oh, okay, cool. Check out our website, by the way. That's the whole idea behind this whole March Mustache Madness. This is something cool that we're publishing on now and doing research on. Again, Lavani Otakadze here in the audience, him and I were doing this is his senior project, but we're trying to publish on it. We are. It was the Go On Touch Yourself campaign. It was where we put these up as urinals and stalls for guys. I mean, you're already there anyway, doing whatever you're doing, and it takes, if you read this thing, you could quickly do like a little TSE really quick. And of course, there are some limitations to it, but it kind of shows you, you know. People are like, why is the woman there? I was like, well, guys are kind of like, you know, they're visually stimulated. And I'm not going to debate sexuality here, but it went over pretty well. We did a little pilot study. This is pilot data. That's all it was. But we're trying to publish off it and just say, this is what has worked a little bit. Again, this is just pilot data, so don't please debate me on methodology and all that kind of stuff, because we'll be here all day. But there was some general success to this. I think enough to, you know, tip my hat to it and say, you know, thank you to Lavani for helping me do this. But there was some general outcomes where guys were kind of enticed by it. They found it kind of interesting, and they did the behavior because of it. We're probably going to be more focused on the not at alls and the somewhats down here. They're like, not at all. Well, why do TSC in the future? Well, out of not at alls, how receptive were you to the pamphlet? We're going to focus probably on that, because the guys that are very much or quite a bit, they'll do the behavior anyway. We don't have to worry about them. It's the not at alls or the somewhats that we have to worry about. The outcomes was, this isn't mine. I didn't make this up. I thought it was pretty cool, this whole untied thing. Almost 21% answered that it raised fear. So the fear drive model still has some business to it. There's still some like legitimacy to it. Almost 40% said it was simple to perform, and about 12% said that the poster was inspiring. Inspiring, sure. I wouldn't want to see what's inspiring about it, because that would be kind of a sub-analysis in itself. But the whole fear thing was interesting to me, and the whole simplicity behind the behavior. Future endeavors is the role of social media. I talked about that. We're looking into partnering up with some clinics in Central Florida to do informed decision-making with prostate cancer compliance or adherence or prostate health maintenance. We're looking to partner up with them and apply to Bayer Foundation and Livestrong to get some funds to do that. We're partnering up with College Men's Centers through Dr. Miles Groth, the Men's Health Network. Obviously, I tip my hat to you guys. If it wasn't for you guys, a lot of collaboration between me and Jim and everything else wouldn't be going on. Healthy Men Today is a good blog site by Sunny Patel. He's involved as well, getting the word out there. And UCF's been so receptive to men's health. Temple was kind of like lukewarm and tepid, but UCF is very, very much on the ball. They're having me do a brown bag series to help teach the college about men's health. They're like allowing me to do this whole guest lecture series around Florida. I'm giving one on social media and men's health at the University of Florida coming up soon. So they've been very receptive, and I tip my hat to them. We have a website, menshealthinfo.org. My emails are on the phone, and follow us on Twitter at MHIORG. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it. All right.